Would like you to turn with me this evening in God's Word to a very familiar portion of Scripture found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. Luke's Gospel chapter 16. Certainly a most solemn portion of God's Word. Luke chapter 16, and we'll begin our reading at verse 19. Let us now hear the word of the Lord. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. We'll end the reading there with the earnest prayer that God will add his blessing to the public reading of his own holy and infallible word. We need the Lord's help, and we will only find that help when we call upon him in prayer. So let us look to the Lord just now and pray for God's help and pray earnestly for the power of the Spirit of God to be very evident in this tenth meeting tonight. Let us all pray. Our God and loving Father, we thank Thee for those in this tent tonight who know with assurance that they're going home to that land where there is no night, where there is no death, where there is no parting, where there is no suffering, where there are no graves, but we're going to that land where the roses never fade. And eternal God, there are those in the tent tonight We would wish, we would pray that they would be going with us. Oh, gracious God, I pray tonight that Thou would bring precious souls to the cross by the power of the gospel and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, do a work in hearts tonight that we cannot do. Oh, God, tonight bring conviction. Lord, tonight bring conversion. Tonight in this tent, Lord, may backsliders be restored to their first love. Tonight in this tent, Lord, may sinners be rescued and plucked as brands from the burning, plucked out of the very hand of the devil tonight. And in all things, may the great name of the Lord Jesus be magnified. Fill me now, Lord, with the power of Thy Spirit. I need that power, Lord, and Thou knowest. And I pray, our God, in the preaching of the Word, Thou will help me to preach Christ and to preach the blood. And our God, we look to Thee, as it were, to do the rest. We pray in the Savior's holy name, and always giving to Him the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen. Luke chapter 16. And we read there in the verse 24. And he cried, that is the rich man, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. A number of years ago, the head of the Roman Catholic Church made some declarations upon the subject of hell. Among other things, he stated that hell was not a physical place. He went on to say that hell is not a punishment imposed externally by God. We would beg to differ with that man tonight, and the Word of God differs with him as well. Where is Ahab tonight? Where is Jezebel tonight? Where is Judas tonight? I wonder if we could interview them. I wonder if we could speak to Ahab or Jezebel or Judas tonight. What would they say? If we were to say to Judas tonight, Judas, is there a hell? Judas would cry out from the bottomless pit, yes, preacher, there is a hell. If we were to say, are there fires in hell? Judas would cry out, yes, preacher, there are fires in hell. If I were to say tonight, Judas, is it dark in hell? Judas would say, yes, there's an intense darkness here in hell. Judas, are there torments in hell? Yes, preacher, there are torments in hell. And Judas, tell me, are you locked up in hell? Is there any way of escape? Is there any way out? Judas would say, after being there over 2,000 years, Judas would say, preacher, hell for me has scarcely begun. You would have a hard time convincing those lost souls cast out into outer darkness, you would have a hard time convincing them that there is no such a place as hell. And one day, it may be your portion. It may be your experience. When on that day you stand before a holy God, and you'll be examined out of the books that are written, and all the things that are written about you. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's recorded there that you were never washed in the blood and you never knew the Lord, do you know what you'll hear? You will hear from the lips of the one that you've been rejecting for years. You will hear from the lips of the Lord Jesus. Listen to this. Listen. You will hear Christ's words ringing in your ears, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, those are not my words. Here I have quoted the words of the Lord Jesus. Are you going to stand up in this meeting tonight and say, "Lord Jesus, you're not telling the truth"? Are you going to stand up in this meeting tonight and say, "Lord Jesus, I don't believe a word you're saying"? I don't think there's anyone here would go that far. And the Lord Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And if the Lord said it, my friend, you better believe it. You better believe it. To say that hell is only a condition resulting from attitudes and actions which people adopt in life is contrary to the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. You recall when the Lord Jesus went to the land of Gadara and he rescued Legion. And then upon casting the demons out of Legion, you remember, he cast them into the swine. Now what do we read? We read that the swine ran headlong, ran violently down into a steep place into the lake. Now that lake was filled with water. It was called a lake. Would we doubt and would we say, "Oh, but that was only a state of mind. It wasn't really a lake"? Well, the same word is used in Revelation 19, verse 20. "These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Now, are we going to take one and leave the other? Are we going to accept the one and reject the other? If there was a lake filled with water and we believe it, then we must believe there's a lake filled with fire. Can't have the one and reject the other. You have to be consistent. Which is real? The lake of filled with water is real, and the lake of fire is real also. You have to accept that. Just because you may not like the subject of hell, you may not like it, but you just can't reject it and say it doesn't exist. And the Lord Jesus here in this story told a real story about hell. It's not a parable. Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons would say, oh, it's only a parable. No, it's not. You look at the parables of the Lord Jesus, and you tell me how many parables the Lord told that he gives proper names. Here in this story, he spoke about Moses, he spoke about Abraham, and he speaks about Lazarus, real people. Now, if he's talking about real people, he must be talking about a real place. Must be. And this is the Lord Jesus who is preaching. He knows that hell is a place of punishment. He knows that hell is a place that is more than a mere condition. He knows that hell is real. That's why Christ preached it. That's why he preached it. The fires are real. The torments are real. The darkness is real. The terrors are real. It's all real. Hell is as real as you being in this tent tonight. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth of God's word. And whenever the rich man died, we're told he lifted up his eyes, being in hell, being in torments. And you know what the rich man started to do when he found himself in hell? He started to pray. He's a bit late. He's a bit late praying. That's what I want to look at tonight, a prayer meeting in hell. The rich man would have been far better off. He'd have been attending a prayer meeting when he lived upon earth. He'd have been far better off going to a prayer meeting with Lazarus. But it was when he died and went down into hell, he began to pray. Prayer meeting in hell. When will you start praying? When will you pray, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? When will you pray, Lord, I am a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Lord, save me. When will you pray, Lord, wash me in thy blood? Save me for heaven and save me from hell. When will you pray? You better start praying now before you start to pray when it's far too late. And you look at the rich man, first of all, he prayed for relief. No sooner had the rich man passed from time and the comforts of his lifestyle into eternity than he begins to pray, verse 24, and he cried. What awful crying must echo through the corridors of hell. We mentioned that the other night. What must it be like to be in that awful place and hear the cries and the cries and the cries and the cries through the darkness and through the corridors of hell of those doomed and damned souls that will be there for all eternity? And they started crying the moment they died, and they're still crying, and they'll cry forever. And there'll be nobody to wipe away their tears. There'll be nobody to answer their crying. The rich man began to cry. Here was, first of all, his terrible lament. Here is the rich man's first prayer, and it is a cry for relief. He begins by crying for mercy. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Mercy. He was looking for mercy. Would somebody have mercy on me? I'm in this fire. I'm tormented. It's burning here. It's dark here. It's a terrible place to be. Oh, will somebody have mercy on me? He didn't pray for release. Do you notice that? He didn't pray for release from hell, but he prayed for relief in hell. So he cries for mercy. The one thing that he did not have in his lifetime, there was Lazarus lying at his gate. Poor Lazarus. Covered in sores. The best friend he had upon earth were the dogs of the street. And the old rich man passed him every day, never showed mercy to Lazarus. Never showed Lazarus any mercy, and now the man's looking for mercy. Now he wants somebody else to have mercy on him. Oh, but he could have had mercy if he had prayed sooner. He could have known mercy if he had been lying up in that big house of his. If he started to pray then and say, Lord, have mercy on me. He could have seen mercy and enjoyed mercy, the mercy of God, if he had said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And my friend, tonight you can know that mercy too. Lord, be merciful. Because you see, we're all deserving of hell. That's it. We all deserve to be cast into the lake of fire where the rich man is tonight, where Judas is, where blasphemers are, where murderers are, where pedophiles are, where liars are. We deserve to be there too. But glory to God, the Lord had mercy. That night we asked the Lord into our hearts. That night we asked the Lord to save us. The Lord showed mercy. Praise his name, he showed mercy. Deserving of the judgment of God, yet in wrath he remembered mercy. Oh, my friend, tonight come. You'll find mercy with the Lord. Come, every soul oppressed. There is mercy with the Lord. Why do you wait? Why do you tarry? Why do you hang on? Why do you go on every day without Christ? Endangering your own soul. Because someday you'll be stricken down. Someday you'll die. Someday you'll leave this world behind. And the place that knows you now will know you no more forever. So why do you take a chance? Why do you live dangerously? Why don't you come tonight and make sure you'll be in that place where the roses never fade? There's a dear lady that we're in contact with on her telephone, and she lives in another part of Canada. She's a dear soul. She used to be a missionary. She's in her 90s. We talk often. Whenever I would say, well, the Lord bless Gladys. May the Lord bless you with good health. And she has bad health. Well, she says, if I happen to go before, as I probably will, she says, I'll wait for you and I'll see you just inside the eastern gate. And I thought to myself, isn't that a lovely saying? I'll be waiting for you, and I'll see you just inside the eastern gate. You see, that's the hope the child of God has. I have a mother in heaven. I'll see her just inside the eastern gate. Maybe you have a mother or a father there, and you're looking forward to seeing them again. That is, if you're saved, if you know their Savior. But oh, if you don't, that meeting will never take place. You'll not see anybody. The only gates that you will see will be the gates of hell. You'll not be able to say, oh, I'll see you inside the eastern gate. I'll be waiting for you. He prayed for mercy and he prayed for a ministry. He wants Lazarus to come and to minister unto him by giving him a drop of water to cool his tongue. Somebody minister to me, he says, send Lazarus. Isn't that strange? Isn't that funny? The man that the rich man had ignored for days and months and years, now all he talks about is Lazarus. That man that lay at my gate in rags, half starved. That man that lay at my gate with all those sores. Would you get that man to come and give me a drop of water? Just a drop. You see, the rich man didn't think very much of Lazarus. Wasn't very important. After all, the rich man fared sumptuously every day. Why would he attend to the needs of a beggar? But now suddenly Lazarus becomes very important. That's a change, isn't it? He wasn't so important whenever the rich man was enjoying his life and feasting, being arrayed in fine linen and living in a big house. Lazarus wasn't important then, but he is now. And you know, whenever a soul passes out into eternity, suddenly those things that were not important in life suddenly become very important. It's too late, of course. For instance, this meeting tonight. Maybe you don't really regard this meeting as being all that important. You heard there's a mission on, you thought you would come. Maybe you're invited tonight, you're here because of a friend invited you along. And well, as far as you're concerned, as soon as you can get out of the tent, the better, and that'll be the end of it. It's not really important for your life. And the preacher, sure, I don't even know him. I'm not really interested in the preacher. And what about that Christian that you mocked at work? Simply because he is a Christian, and you laughed at him, and you mocked him, along with the crowd, of course. You wouldn't do it to his face, but you waited till you got in a crowd. And that believer that handed you a gospel tract, you said in your heart, what do I want that for? I'm not into this religious stuff. And you tossed it to one side. Well, let me tell you this. If you toss the gospel to one side and you turn your back on Jesus Christ and you don't confess your sin and you don't repent of your sin and you don't receive Christ as your Savior and you die in your sin, suddenly all those things that were not important to you in life will become very important. Because I'll tell you this, you'll wish that you had another opportunity to hear the preacher preach the gospel. That man and his message that you thought nothing about. I tell you, whenever you're in torments, you'll wish, oh, how you'll wish you had another opportunity to hear that preacher again, but you never will. And you remember that gospel tract that you threw to one side, never even read it? Oh, how you'll wish in the darkness you could have that gospel tract again and you would read it and you would read it and read it over. In that meeting you sat in and you heard the congregation sing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come and you sat in your pew or in your chair and you said, let me get out of here tonight. And you said in your heart, I have no intention of coming. Well, there'd be nobody singing just as I am in a lost eternity. No. You'll not hear anybody singing that invitation hymn. Be all over. There'll be nobody to minister to you. Things that you regard as unimportant now will become very important. Let me put it to you this way. How valuable is a drop of water to you now? Why, sure, you often fill a bucket of water and you toss it out to wash down the yard. You often turn the tap on and let it run for minutes. Gallons of water run down the drain. Sure, a drop of water isn't of any value to you now. A drop of water will be of great value to you in a lost eternity. Rich man asked just for a drop. It's all he wanted. But there was nobody to give him a drop. Not even a drop. You notice something else. His terrible loneliness. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples. Where two and three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And while the rich man was not alone in hell, yet he is the only one who is mentioned here. And you see, those who are gathered together in hell, the Lord is not there. He's not there. The Lord's not there. God's not there. The preacher's not there. The Christians aren't there. Your friends are not there. You're alone. All alone. Oh, there may be thousands and millions of lost souls there, but you'll feel the loneliness. You'll look at it. Look at what Abraham said, verse 26. Between and beside all this, between us and you. Speaking to one man. Between us in heaven and you, rich man. Rich man, you're on your own. Rich man, there's no friend there. Rich man, there's no helper there. Rich man, there's no rescuer there. Rich man, there's no comforter there. And the rich man cries in his extremities of torture and torment. And he's crying alone. He cries alone in the extreme darkness. The word that's used to describe the darkness of hell is a very strong word. It means a darkness that can be felt. It's a darkness that enshrouds the lost soul. It's a darkness that can be felt. That's the darkness the rich man was in, and he cries alone in the darkness. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Abraham afar off, and the rich man is there in a place that is afar off. Oh, how I wish I could speak to people individually, face to face, man to man. And get this Bible before you and in your eyes and say to you, look at what the Bible says The rich man was afar off. Far away from Abraham, far away from God, far away from the Lord, far away from Lazarus, far, far away. And Abraham said, there's a great gulf fixed. Do you see that? I remember going to a tent mission like this one time many years ago before I was saved. And the preacher preached on hell. I was scared out of my wits that night. I went home, and that night I lay all night awake on the bed. I couldn't sleep because I was afraid. I was afraid to waken up in hell. I was. Are you not afraid? Do these words not strike fear into your heart? Do you not say tonight, oh, what a terrible place hell must be. I wouldn't like to be there. I wouldn't like to be there with a rich man and with Judas and with murderers. I would like to be saved. Praise the Lord. Is that what you have said already? Is that what you have said already tonight? This word has struck fear into my heart. Praise the Lord if it has. And if it has, then why not this hour ask the Lord to save you? Wouldn't that be great? Then I could say to you, or you could say to me, I'll be waiting for you just inside the eastern gate. I'd see you again. I'd see you in that land that is fairer than day. We press on and we notice that he prayed for his relatives. Verse 27, we read, then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. Now this nails the lie that is put out by many today who tell us when you die, that's it. You just die like a dog and that's it all over. Well, here you have the testimony of a rich man. And when he was in hell, he said to Abraham, I pray thee that thou would send him, Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brethren. I have five brothers. And I don't want my brothers to come into this place. Do you see something else? Do you see that in hell a man has his memory? This man's memory wasn't obliterated when he died because we're told that he remembered he had five brethren at home. He remembered that. And Abraham said to him, remember thou in thy lifetime. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad, if I could use that terminology, if a soul that was lost in hell, if they had their memory blotted out, then they wouldn't remember all the opportunities they had of getting saved. They wouldn't remember all those times when they were only a step away from the kingdom. They wouldn't remember those times that they were under such conviction they began to cry and weep and wish they'd stayed behind. But that's not the way it is. The rich man remembered. Judas remembered what he did to Christ. And Jezebel remembers what you did to Elijah. And you'll remember this meeting tonight. I guarantee. What day is it? The 9th of September, 2012. You will remember this meeting in the tent tonight outside the town of Makrafel. You'll remember this text. You'll remember what the preacher preached on. You'll say, why didn't I stay behind that night? Why didn't I ask the preacher to lead me to the Lord? Now here is a word of warning. The rich man requested that Lazarus be sent to his five brethren who were still living in his father's house. And he says, go back and warn them. Tell them not to come into this place. You know what people say? Well, how do we know there's a hell? Sure, nobody has come back from the dead to tell us. Well, here is the voice of a man beyond the grave. Here's the voice of a man who's down there in the bottomless pit as we gather here in this night in this tent. And it's as if this man, this rich man, is crying out. As he cried out to Abraham, tell my brethren, warn my brothers. It's as if this rich man is crying out to us in this tent this evening. Oh, don't come into this place of torment. That's what he's saying. He's there, you see. He's experiencing what the Lord is speaking about. Tell those people in that tent and the Money More Road that there is a hell. Tell them. Tell them not to come into this place. Tell them to receive Jesus Christ. Tell them to ask the Lord for mercy. For in my lifetime I never asked for mercy and I wish I had. I beg of you tonight. I plead with you from my heart this night. Pay heed to what we're saying. I'm not an actor up on a stage playing out the first or second act of a play. I stand tonight between the living and the dead. I stand tonight to preach the truth. I ask you, I plead with you, I exhort you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, to ask Him for mercy. Be merciful to me as a sinner. Be merciful to me as a sinner. That's simple, isn't it? And the Lord will have mercy. Sinner, heed the warning voice. Make the Lord your final choice. Then all heaven will rejoice because the angels will bear the glad tidings to heaven and it will be spread all around glory. And your loved ones who have gone before will receive the news. And my, what rejoicing there'll be in heaven tonight. I believe that. I do. I believe that whenever sinners get saved here on earth, the news is brought to heaven. The Lord tells us that. That there'll be rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one lost sheep who has been brought home. And your mom, your dad, your granny, your grandfather has gone before you. They'll be rejoicing tonight if you come to the Lord now. You see the witness, the rich man had no time for Lazarus, no time for the Lord. And the word was given to him, this rich man. He said, well, if Lazarus could only go on to my brethren from the grave, they would believe then. If Lazarus could just rise up from the grave, rise up from the dead and go and speak to my brethren, they would believe him. Abraham said no. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Why did Abraham say that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But there's another reason. You recall when the Lord Jesus walked with the two Emmaus disciples after his resurrection, and he opened to them the scriptures, and where did he begin? He began at Moses and all the prophets and expounded unto them in all the scriptures those things pertaining to himself. In other words, Abraham was saying, no, they need to listen to the word. They need to look at the word. They need to study the word, because the word tells you about Jesus Christ. And the word tells you how you can be saved, and the word tells you how you can escape hell. It's the word. My friend, you're hearing the word tonight. And you're hearing about Jesus Christ tonight. One more thing and we're finished. You notice this third prayer that he prayed about repentance. In verse 30, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went on to them from the dead, they will repent. What do you think of that? Here was a man, a rich man, caught up with his riches, caught up with a luxury lifestyle, had no time for Lazarus, no time for the gospel, no time for God, and yet he knew that if his brethren were to escape hell, they needed to repent. Isn't that something? The rich man knew that his brethren would need to repent of their sin. Now, this man wasn't a preacher. He was an ungodly wretch. He lived a sinner. He died a sinner. He's tormented as a sinner, and yet here he talks about repentance. Surely you ought to listen to that now. If I use the word repentance, you say, well, that's just the language of a preacher. But here's the rich man, and he uses the word repent. If you like, here's one of your own. A man who lived for the world, lived for sin, lived for pleasure. He's one of your own. And he says, my brethren would need to repent, or else they'll join me in this awful place. Will you repent? Every prayer, and he offered three. Every prayer the rich man offered, the answer was the same. No. No. No water. No escape. No witness to your brethren. Three prayers, three answers, no. Well, let me tell you this. If you pray tonight, while you're still in time, and you pray, Lord Jesus, wilt thou save me tonight? Do you know what the answer will be? Yes. The answer will be yes. If you pray tonight, Lord, I'm a guilty sinner. I've lived for the world. I've lived for the devil. I've been a drunkard. I've been a blasphemer. Lord, will you wash me in thy blood and cleanse me? The answer will be yes. Yes. Lord, wilt thou save my soul tonight and take me at last to heaven that I might see that loved one of mine just inside the eastern gate? Lord, will you save me and take me to heaven? The answer still will be yes. Praise the Lord. The Lord will say yes. As Abraham said no to the rich man, to every prayer, because he prayed too late. My friend, don't leave it too late. It's just at this stage of a meeting, where as a preacher, I feel I wish I had more powers of persuasion. C.H. Spurgeon said that often in his ministry, he said he wished he could go down into his congregation and where all the sinners sat or all the sinners stood, he would draw a circle around them and wouldn't let them step out of that circle until they gave their heart to the Lord. I know what Spurgeon meant. That's how I feel now. Because this is a dreadful place. The Lord Jesus preached it. It's real. It's real. Everything about it is real. And there's some, perhaps even now, and you're thinking about getting out of this tent without getting saved. Whatever you do, don't do that. Don't do that. Come tonight. Claim Christ. He's here. Ready, willing. Glory to his name, able to save you. Don't rush out now. We'll soon be bowing our heads in the attitude of prayer. I want you to give much thought before you go out. Much thought in the few minutes that remain. Much thought about what you're going to do tonight in the light of this word. Let's bow our heads in prayer.